step by day. Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, nevertheless tempted, though in the wrong. Father,
may we all in truth and spirit. 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 671. 671 would be song of invitation after a lesson.
15 present with us this morning.
And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 331. 331. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fills in us a humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love.
Talking about the things of God in life, we have to realize that there are times of sorrow. Fortunately enough, we have enough written in the pages of the Bible, in God's Word, that tell us what sorrow really is caused by and how it can be overcome. This morning, I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bible there. It's in front of you if you don't have your personal copy with you. To Genesis chapter 50. And in reference to this, Joseph and his father and the death of Jacob occurs. It is said there in Genesis 49 and last verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel, that is Jacob. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so were fulfilled the days of those which were embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father according to as he hath made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of the house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, and his brethren, and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. I want to stop there to note several things are said regarding sorrow at this time. There was a sorrow at the death of Jacob. Joseph realized, of all people, he realized how important Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were in the overall plan of God for the world. And Jacob now had come to this point in time and had died. As he was there in this land of Goshen, he found himself blessed of the Lord, and they were part of Egypt and a part of a work there. Now keep in mind that they were all eating today in the 7 years of plenty. They were all eating now in the 7 years of famine. And it was still going on because Joseph had the wisdom of God. He built the storehouses which they filled to the brim. They were able to eat when the plentiful harvests were there. They were able to eat when there was no harvest available whatsoever. The Egyptians saw that. I noted in class this morning, it's amazing to me that they didn't raise further questions in regard to this God of Joseph that so blessed them with 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of untold famine. Nothing grew, nothing could feed them except from the storehouses that were there. And how God intended that to be the case. Because Joseph was in this land, not because of evils that he had done and wickedness that he had done, but he was in this land because his brothers were jealous of him and had sold him away. And the Egyptian taskmasters finally got him. And Potiphar's wife was wicked against him, and falsehoods were said, and he would have been in prison for at least a couple of years because the man that he told the dream about his being restored to the household of Pharaoh and serving there once again, when Pharaoh had a dream that he could not remember all about it, and he couldn't remember what it said, and this man says, I had a man that told me I would be restored to this position. I'd be able to serve here again. And he told this other man that he would be hanged because he was wicked in his ways and that he would not be restored. We will sit down here and wait. You get that man and come here and bring him here. It was there that Joseph interpreted the dream to him, to the idea that the fat cows came out of that river, and the fat cows were there able to grow, but no more growth was with them. And what does this mean? And Joseph says there will be 7 years of wonderful blessings to come to this land. Plenty will be here. It'll be untold amount that will be left over. But they'll be followed by 7 years of untold famine. There'll be no food to eat. There'll be nothing there available. Pharaoh believed this man. To test him out and to show that this was the case, he said, I'll put you in charge of taking care of those years of plenty. And that's why I say Joseph had the wisdom of God. He knew to put the storehouses up and to find those things in there, fill them up, and have them available for those 7 years of untold famine. These people saw that. And when Joseph's father died, he mourned. And he sent the men to ask Pharaoh for permission to leave the country there and go bury his father as he had promised him he would. Pharaoh didn't send these people to be sure that he came back. He had the little ones still there, and he had the flocks and herds still there in Goshen. But he did send them, and they saw something else. They saw that when this burial took place, we begin now at verse 10 again, in this chapter 50, at verse 10. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore, name of it is called Abismaraj, that is, beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. And his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham had bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. Notice that they said, look at this type of mourning that's done. Look at the intense mourning and lamentation, verse 10, of sorrow at the passing of and now the burial of this man. They were impressed with the fact that the mourning had taken place now at the, even the site of burial. There are a lot of people that times of a hospital and death occurs, that they are ready then to say, this person has lived, this person now has died. We can do more for this individual. This individual can do no more for us. We will leave. Many times I stayed with that person who had died and to await the funeral people to come and to do the taking of him or her by way of the ambulance service. And the family had already left. I didn't feel bad about that till I read in these verses about this idea, and I thought my mind went back to those people. Several different families and what they had said at the time of the death of their loved one. He can do more for us. We can do no more for him or her. And when I announced to them that I would stay, awaiting the funeral people to come, they were content to go. I don't know that that is bad, but I know that right here, what impressed those who did not know them at all. The Canaanites were people who were involved as much with idolatry as they were with God. And they were people who didn't know all these folks. They hadn't kept up with all of them. They had left years before and gone to the land of Egypt. The blessings that they had now, because those brothers were being hungry. And hunger was there with them. And so they went down to Egypt to take money with them, money that was not taken by Joseph. And they thought, because they said they didn't recognize him, they thought that they'll surely use this against us if we ever come back here again. This money's in our bags that we took down there to pay them for this food. But the plan of God was for them to come back. And when they came back, they began to recognize, and Joseph revealed himself to them, that there was a great forgiveness that he said that he had for them. We're talking about sorrow today. Sorrow that's created because of man's own conditions. Sorrow at one's death. Sorrow at a time of burial. Sorrow at the memory of an individual gone before. But here is the idea too. They were really guilty of how they felt about Joseph. And they just figured that he was just biding his time. He was going to take advantage of them. And all the way through Jacob's life, down there in Egypt then, they believed that that was going to happen when he died. We read now at verse 15 of Genesis 50 at verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite of us all the evil which we did unto him." They would talk about it, but they wouldn't admit it. They would talk about it. But they were now going to be very sad about this situation. They were in fear. They were in guilt. They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died," saying. They made up a story. They made up a falsehood, actually. They made up a story about what Joseph's father, Jacob, had told them. "And so shall ye say unto Joseph." That's what they're saying to him. "Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, as though, and their sin, as though he had not forgiven them already." He had told them vividly he had forgiven them. "That God sent me before you to preserve your life." He didn't have to mention about the sorrow created in his heart at being sold away by them. He didn't mention about the lies and falsehoods that put him in prison. "God sent me before you to preserve your life." God's going to make something out of this great people here. Not because they are mighty and powerful and soldiers and all like that, but because they are wicked. They are evil. They are people who are weak. And as a result, he will make of them a great nation of people. Nobody would have believed it. The Egyptians wouldn't have believed it. None of the other people of Canaan wouldn't have believed it. But here they are in the sadness of their guilt. "And they sent messengers unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. And they did unto thee evil. Now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren went down and fell before his face And they said, Behold, we be as thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you. Look what he said. I will nourish you and your little ones. Be comforted. He comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he in his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, who were brought up upon Joseph's knee. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And when they left that land, because Moses had been delivered by that time, and Moses said that God has sent me to tell you to let the people of Israel go. And ultimately he did. And ultimately he realized his hardness of heart that had held them there so long was not left him, and so he commanded his army people to go and get them before they get to the Red Sea. And that's where they were left, in the floor of the Red Sea, as the people of Israel walked through on dry land. Miriam called a group together. They began to sing and to dance and enjoy their deliverance from Egypt. That's the next time we see great joy as part of these people's lives. Think about the sadness of a leader. Think about the sadness of a man who died. Think about the sadness that's involved with guilt being laden up in their lives. They couldn't enjoy being down there. They couldn't enjoy a bit of food or drink that they had. They couldn't enjoy it because they were so afraid that Joseph was lying to them. They knew what they would have done to him if he had done that, something like that to them. So they hated him. Even yet. But he was willing to forgive them. What can we do to have a joy that is overcome? Well, we can know joy. In the book of Job, vividly Job speaks regarding this matter in chapter 3 and verse 6, when he says that he was born in a time of the dark of night. And he says the dark of night will bring about a change in the time of sorrow. And it can bring about a time of change. Jesus our Lord was one who went into a time of great sorrow as he was facing the cross, as you read in Hebrews 5 in reference to this matter in verse 7. It is the case that his tears were for the cause of pain that he knew he would go through, not the doubt that the Father had assured him that he would call him back from the dead. Today is a time for you and me to reflect upon what makes us sad. Is it guilt that makes us sad? Is it the loss of someone we really trusted in so mightily that's gone now that makes us so sad? What is it that makes us so sad? But what is it that makes us so overjoyed It's the freedom and deliverance that we could have from sin and from the terrors of sin. Think about the way of life that we can live and enjoy, a peace and joy that we can have as we live this life in God. What a blessing. As this song is sung today, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come as we stand and as we sing together.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come for the table now is spread. Ye famished, ye weary, come and thou shalt be richly fed.
Hear the invitation. See y'all tonight. Enjoy this in our men's meeting thereafter. And then next Lord's Day, hope we can enjoy a nice little type of potluck after service on Sunday night. The Sunday night will be a singing time. We'll be inviting people all around the area to come here and be a part of the singing time next Sunday night. But tonight, we'll finish up with the joy that we can have and where we can find that. Look forward to it. God bless y'all in every way. I'm always about 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks ahead of time in regard to lessons that I prepare and plan and think about and study about and that sort of thing. That doesn't mean that you can't mention some particular topic that you'd like for me to mention, because I don't know that I'm covering everything that we all need in regard to that. And so let me know as we go along here. By call or comment or leave a note somewhere on the pew or something like that. God bless you all. Appreciate you being here today.
Let's turn to number 276. 276. After the song of the beginning. Jesus is all the world to me.
My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day unto day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Of the